Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church of Columbus, Indiana welcomes you to the marrow of the message. Thank you for continuing with us in this series on Philippians. We're in message number 23 entitled Onward to Jesus, the Goal of Our Sanctification. This is about, this is part three of this series. And we want to draw your attention to the normal Christian life. Now, he's talking about sanctification. It is right and normal for a Christian to grow and mature. That's the whole object of our being in Christ. It's not that we can live for ourselves, but it is that we would live unto Christ Jesus. These are high and lofty goals, but it's God's goal for us, and it is what will happen completely, finally, that day that we are taken out of these bodies and we're given a new body like His glorious body, which we talked about a little bit last week in looking at verses 20 and 21. But sanctification, or the goal of it, is to be like Christ, to see Him, to behold His glory, and to become like Him, and to reflect His glory. This is what we're talking about. It is the normal Christian life. If someone is not growing and maturing in the faith, or if there is no growth at all, then it's likely that that person is not in the faith. And we're going to see something about this in this passage today. Let me read it for you. Verse 17, join with others in following my example, brothers, and take note of those who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as I have often told you before, now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross. Their destiny is destruction, their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. I think we'll look at verses 20 and 21 next week as we pay attention to the second coming of Christ and what that means for us, and for us who have believed, who are the chosen of God before the foundation of the world. But we can't see clearly unless we look at the scripture and take what we already know. We know that Paul had set forth this, that his passion in life was Christ. And this happened because when he met Jesus, or when Jesus met him, he saw for once and for all the glory of God, the very righteousness that he had sought. He found it in Christ Jesus, knowing that he himself couldn't add anything to that righteousness, not through his works in any way, but only through faith in Jesus Christ. This changed his life forever. As a result of that, he hotly pursued Jesus Christ. Paul burned hot. And this is the normal Christian life. He burned hot in his love for the Lord Jesus Christ. His devotion to God and Christ burned hot. His passion in knowing and pursuing Christ was everything. In fact, he looked at his life as everything else compared to Christ was an absolute loss. Paul knew, though, that believers, he mentioned this in verses 15 and 16, he knew that not every believer would see eye to eye with him on this. Not every believer would be at the point in their life where, through faith, they had seen or beheld the glory of Jesus Christ like Paul had. Paul had seen Christ. He knew other believers had not seen him, yet we know him by the witness of the Holy Spirit living in each and every one of us who believe. And so Paul had confidence that though not every believer would be striding in the same stride that he was striding in, yet they would. At some point, he was certain that God would make it clear to them that pursuing Christ as their all in all, with everything they had, with passion, would be made clear to them through the Holy Spirit. He said it in verses 15 and 16. But one thing he did say, don't regress. He said, only live up to what you have already attained. Live according to the maturity in which you've already attained. And this is important for us because when we think about sanctification, we're thinking about growing up, maturing into Christ's likeness. And so for us as Christians, it is not right for us to regress. It's not right for us to grow backwards, so to speak. We're intended to continue growing. This is what is challenging for all of us, because most of us, as we grow and mature, We would agree that we see ourselves more clearly of how far short we fall of the glory of God because we still carry around the flesh with us. And that flesh will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And yet we know that though we have this struggle in this body, we are becoming more and more like Christ. We have to believe this by faith. And I believe that the Holy Spirit doesn't allow us to see our level of sanctification, but the Lord sure will make it known to others. Others will recognize growth when it happens. And it's good to hear encouragement from time to time. But remember this, it's not a matter of beholding your sanctification. It's a matter of beholding Christ. And I think that that becomes the mark of the life of the Christian who's growing. It is less attention on themselves, less desire in finding self-satisfaction and self-pleasure and so on, but instead turning to Jesus Christ with full faith, seeking our gifts from Him, seeking our satisfaction from Him, seeking everything from Him, finding our pleasure in Him. Where He is the source and the fountainhead of all things. We don't desire to simply swim in the pool around the fountain. We want to go into the fountain, which is Jesus Christ, our Lord. So the goal of our sanctification ultimately is Christ-likeness. And this Christ-likeness will be fully recognized when we are glorified, when we receive a new body like His glorious body. Until that happens, we'll still be incomplete. Even though we drop these bodies, when we pass away, when we die, that separation of the soul and the body, we still will long to be clothed with immortality. And though we will live forever, we long for that day we'll have a body like His glorious body. And Paul would have us to recognize this, that it is a hard way to go. And when Paul says, follow my example, as he says in verse 17, he's not saying, because I'm perfect. We recognize from what Paul has already said in previous verses that he is far from perfect. He knows he hasn't attained any of what he looks forward to. He longs to behold Christ. He longs to be Christ-like, to be fully mature. And that's what he aims for, and that's the pattern he says, follow. Follow this normal pursuit of Jesus Christ. It is normal and expected. The hardest part for us is to do that because we oftentimes seek to pursue Him in our own strength and our own power, not recognizing that this is a walk that we walk in partnership, in tandem, in hand with God, the Holy Spirit, and with one another. We cannot live this Christian life apart from each other. Now, the problem Paul had was not that there was these antinomians, these lawless ones in the church, the ones that gave a thumbs up to licentiousness, but the problem was that they had, not because they were in the church, but because of their influence upon Christians in the culture in which they lived. These people, these antinomians, were the very ones who claimed to be Christ, belonged to Him, but they were not. He says they live as enemies of the cross of Jesus Christ. And this is so sad. Can you imagine having revelation, as one brother in our church pointed out, that you look in the scripture and you see many people had great revelations from God. Think of Cain. He pointed us, this brother Mike Leppard pointed us to the book of Jude, and Jude pointed out Cain was deceived, yet he had a revelation from God. God spoke to him. We have Balaam. He had spoken the very words of God, yet he himself chose instead to seek the treasures of this earth rather than the kingdom. And Korah had a revelation from God, yet in his rebellion against God was swallowed up by the earth. And so we have here in Philippi men who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, who claim to believe the doctrines of grace, having had this revelation of sorts, they would say, yet their lives were reflective of unbelief. Their lives were reflective of the way of destruction. And so we see this because Paul says their destiny is destruction. Their God is their stomach, and their glory is in their shame. Their mind is on earthly things. They had not taken up the way of the cross. Christians live by taking up. Our daily life is to be a life of cross-bearing. I'm glad to hear this message myself, because I forget so often that the life of the Christian life is a life of cross-bearing. It's easy to begin considering how hard it is to follow Christ and how hard and how painful it is to grow up. And it's easy for us to yield our bodies as slaves to sin. We're no longer slaves to sin. But sometimes we give up and we take a step or two backwards and we think that this will never pass, but we're reminded that first the cross, then the crown. And if we would surround ourselves with this reminder daily, and by being in the Word of God and by spending time in prayer, allowing the Holy Spirit to remind us and sink His Word and promises deep into our soul, we would find this cross-bearing, as Paul did, to be a joy. And more importantly, as Christ did, to be a joy, the joy set before Him. So sanctification is about taking up our cross and following Him, following Christ daily. This is self-sacrifice, sacrificing self, sacrificing worldly pleasures, instead looking to the pleasures that God has provided for us. And some of them will be only given after we pass from this life into the next. What I hope that we'll remember about sanctification more than anything, love moves us toward sanctification. And first of all, we have to remember the motivation of sanctification. If it is love, it's first found in God. God's love for His own glory. And God had chosen a people for Himself before the foundation of the world, and God, loving His own glory, had planned without fail that His Son would redeem those people chosen before the foundation of the world, and they would be made to be like little Christ. And what I mean by that is they'll be those who forever and ever and ever will reflect the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's God's desire and His will to see this through, that it would happen just as He planned it. So the motivation behind sanctification begins with God's love for His own glory. Second, God's love for His own Son. See, God had promised His Son, and the Son received it, this people, as a gift. John chapter 6 tells us all about this. The people God had decreed for Himself, had chosen for Himself before the foundation of the world, were indeed given to His Son, that these would be the people that, having been redeemed, having been chosen, called out, saved through the blood of Jesus Christ in time, would be those who, having received the Holy Spirit, would grow up, would mature, be sanctified, as those who would catch and reflect Christ's glory. This is rooted in God's love for His Son. God so loves His Son that He desires that the whole earth and heavens would be filled with people that look just like Him. These antinomians in verses 18 and 19, lawless ones, were anything but Christ-like. They desired their own passions. They desired to fulfill their own pursuits. Their belief was that if we indulge ourselves fully in sin and fully in the passions of our flesh, that in some way we'll glorify God. They will glorify God, but not in the way that they think they will. They think that they'll see the purity and holiness of God more clearly, which they will, but they will be at the receiving end of the judgment of God. They're truly not in the faith. Jude would have called them trees uprooted, twice dead. He would have called them foam on the ocean waves that simply blows and is gone. Sanctification, then, if rooted in love, finds God's love for His own glory, God's love for His Son, and God's love for us, and our love for God. Because God loved us, we love Him. It's God who first loved us by giving us new birth, making us new creatures, and transforming us daily, that we might behold His glory in the face of Jesus Christ. And it's our love for God, though, shown, demonstrated, when we find first faith in Him, putting our faith into practice by believing the promise of this gospel of God in the face of Jesus Christ, clinging to Him, not holding to any of our own righteousness, getting rid of it and holding fast to Jesus Christ as our righteousness alone. And this is so important for us to understand, that sanctification is motivated by love. It's rooted in love. And Paul desired that these Philippian believers would grow up and be those who would reflect the glory of God. In fact, there would be a bent in their heart for waiting for and seeing Christ come again. Paul says, we eagerly await a Savior from there. Now, we'll talk about that next week, but prior to that, he says, our citizenship is in heaven. Our citizenship is in heaven. This is important for us to think about because this is a promise to us who oftentimes find ourselves weary from this walk in following Jesus Christ. We're being renewed day by day. If you're seeking Him and pursuing Him, as Paul has described throughout his epistles, but when we do this, we often do find ourselves weary and worn and longing for Christ to come again. But it's good to remember that we're citizens of heaven now. Our citizenship is in heaven right now. And here's what's important about that. Things of this earth will pass away. The treasures that we lay up on earth will pass away. Jesus said, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, where age, where as we grow older, begins to rob the joy and the luster of all that we've accumulated over the years. And we're to be reminded think of this often, that our citizenship is in heaven right now. And whether you store up things gradually or pursue Christ with all your heart, and you see by faith you're storing up treasures in heaven, that is being held for you, as 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us, that these treasures are stored for us. And it is an indestructible place. No one can overtake it. And we should be proud to be able to say our citizenship is in heaven. We live in this country, if you live in the United States of America, but we enjoy citizenship legally from a worldly standpoint, but do you realize that we are aliens and strangers in this world? And if we're aliens and strangers in this world, we should be following after the great King, Jesus Christ, living our lives like Him. Well, let's consider a few things that will hopefully encourage us to grow up and to guard ourselves against worldly pleasures that truly are passing and will not satisfy. Christ alone can satisfy. It's Him, as Paul had said earlier, is found in Him the surpassing greatness of knowing Jesus Christ. There is nothing like knowing Him. And maybe you're like me and say, I don't believe I know Him as I ought. I'm still being pulled and stretched by this world. Well, there's something first that is most important for us. Cry out to Him. Pray. Tell Him. Talk to Him. Trust Him. And second, let the Holy Spirit examine your heart as you read His Word. God speaks to us through His Word. We speak to Him through prayer. As the Holy Spirit brings light into your life and He puts His finger on an area in your life where you're seeking satisfaction through your own means and own methods, allow the Holy Spirit to convict you. Tell other believers about it. Confess your sins one to another, that we can be healed. It's good to tell your brothers and sisters these things that we find struggling, but also surround yourself in a church where the desire is to grow up to be more like Christ. To belittle Christ, not for the sake of a legalistic achievement, but for the sake of knowing Jesus Christ, that we would behold His glory. This is something that I believe it would be extremely helpful for us. One thing we do at Sovereign Christ Bible Fellowship Church, if you're not one who attends here, the men gather for prayer on a Sunday afternoon, and as we get to know each other more, we find ourselves confessing areas of our life where we struggle and where we're sinning. And we desire help for that. We're seeing some victories in our lives. And the men are the great testimony comes through the families as children especially recognize changes in their father, mother for that matter. But I would encourage you, be with people that have the same goals, the goal being to know Jesus Christ and to behold the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Remember, we talked about this a few weeks ago. When we talk about believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, we're not talking about simply having your mind agree with the facts. It is a matter of treasuring Christ. And does your life reflect that Christ is your treasure? Well, let's strive together in this and together walk in the Lord that we might behold His glory together, even in this life as we await a Savior from heaven. And Lord willing, next week we'll look more at the second coming of Jesus Christ.